Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan, Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN FM, New York.
Well, good morning and welcome to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, May 2nd. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers, proud sponsor of the Travelers Championship. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. Did I hear high of 81? Wow. I love it. Hope you had a chance to play yesterday. Gorgeous day yesterday. And I heard from many of you who braved the wind on Friday and played. Brutal wind. Wow. That must have been a tough round. But, hey, I spent a few days in Pinehurst, North Carolina, this past week. What a charming village. And, you know, such an historic spot for golfers. And they have 9 golf courses as part of the Pinehurst resorts. And so, you know, the options are just limitless. You just can't play every single course unless you want to hang out there for almost 2 weeks. But we got there on Sunday. We played the Cradle, which... It's a 9-hole par 3 course that Gil Hance designed in 2017. And it's so much fun. They have music playing through speakers. They're, you know, the speakers are situated all over the golf course. And so that was a good warm-up. And then we played number 2, number 4, number 8, and then got out with a friend of mine on the Country Club of North Carolina. So number 2, as you know, hosts the U.S. Opens. And I have great memories covering the 1999 U.S. Open that Payne Stewart won. Very, very special. Who can forget Payne's dramatic 15-footer for par in the 18th, which clinched his one-shot victory over Phil Mickelson. And, of course, they have that statue there immortalizing Payne's win at Pinehurst with that right arm extended in jubilation and his right leg kicked back. A good photo opportunity for everybody there. And covered the 2005 U.S. Open that Michael Campbell won, and then went back in 2014 for that U.S. Open that Martin Kaymer dominated. And they had the back-to-back, the Women's Open and then the Men's Open, and Michelle Wee won the U.S. Women's Open the week prior. So this week it was just nice to be there for a couple of days to play. And in number 2, it's quite the adventure for sure. You know, the Donald Ross original design that Bill Coren, Ben Crenshaw redid in 2010 prior to that 2014 U.S. Open. It's so hard. Now, Coren, Crenshaw, they took most of the rough away, but there are a lot of those sandy native areas. But the difficulty on number 2 are the green complexes. There's so many green complexes that are just so hard to hold with the severe slopes and undulation. And, you know, a lot of times when your ball lands on the green, it rolls off and you find yourself putting again from way off the green. So it was fun to play it, but it was just a brutal test. And that's why it's a U.S. Open course. My favorite there was number 4. Gil Hance redid number 4 back in 2018. And I just loved that layout. It's visually more stunning. The greens are challenging, but not impossible. And it's just a great golf experience for all ability levels. The USGA announced last fall, you may recall, that they are establishing a second headquarters in Pinehurst called Golf House Pinehurst. They're putting in a testing facility, a museum, a visitor center, and some offices down there. So, and then Pinehurst is going to be one of the anchor sites, and they're going to host 5 U.S. Open championships by 2047. The next one will be coming up a couple years in 2024. So it was a good couple days in Pinehurst. The weather was perfect. So moving now from Pinehurst to Ireland. Ireland, one of my favorite golf destinations on the planet. And, you know, sadly, we haven't been able to travel overseas in, what, over a year or so. But they have recently opened up for domestic play and are preparing for international tourists, golfers, hopefully by this fall and certainly for 2022. And many of you have asked me if Ireland will require vaccine certificates for American golfers. Well, we're going to connect with Allison Metcalf in a couple minutes to find out. She is the executive VP for Tourism Ireland, and she'll be able to answer all our questions about when Ireland may be opening back up to American golfers, what we need to travel there. And if you haven't been to Ireland to play their historic Lynx courses and their parkland courses, I highly recommend it. It's just an experience unlike any other. And it's, you know, the courses are amazing, but it's really the Irish hospitality that is second to none. And in the second half of the show, we'll visit with Renee Powell. Renee is an LPGA, PGA golf professional, former tour player. She's a PGA of America Hall of Famer. She's a member of the Royal and Ancient. She earned an honorary doctorate of law from the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. She is an incredible trailblazer as a player, as an instructor, as a businesswoman. She runs the public golf course that her father built. It's called Clearview Golf Club in East Canton, Ohio. And she's the recipient of our Met Golf Writers Association Most Distinguished Service Award, which will be given out at the Met Golf Writers Virtual Awards Dinner on October 6th at Wingfoot. So Renee Powell has just been a huge voice for social change in golf, and we'll hear her incredible story later in the show. Really looking forward to visiting with Renee Powell. All right, here's what's happening in the golf scene this weekend on the pro scene. The Valspar Championship, Palm Harbor, Florida, wrapping up this afternoon. And when I was in Florida for many, many years, when it used to be in March, I would go and cover this tournament and just hang out at the Valspar. It's a beautiful golf championship. But they moved it in the calendar. And Keegan Bradley and Sam Burns are tied for the lead at 14 under. 14 under ties the 54-hole scoring record at the Valspar. And Keegan Bradley looking for his first victory since the 2018 BMW Championship, one of his 4 PGA Tour titles. And Keegan Bradley played golf for St. John's. My buddy Frank Darby was the golf coach back then. Hopefully Keegan can pull it off. Sam Burns, he's had the 54-hole lead or co-lead 3 times this season. Max Homa, he is one shot back at 13-under. He's trying to become the third guy on tour this season to win 3 times, joining Bryson DeChambeau. And Stuart Sink, whom we had on the show last Sunday. Hope you enjoyed my interview with Stuart Sink last Sunday. Did you see Keegan Bradley's eagle on Friday on the final hole? He used a gap wedge from 115 yards out. That was some way to finish on during the second round. It put him at 12 under after the second round, tied for the lead at that point as well. Now, Phil Mickelson missed the cut by one shot with scores of 2 over and 2 under. It's his 6th missed cut in 13 starts this season. He turns 51 in June. He hasn't won in 2 years. And I found what he said afterwards on Friday quite interesting and very honest. He said he knows what his problem is. It's that he's not physically able to keep his focus. He said, as I've gotten older, I have a hard time focusing. And that's my challenge right now. I'm trying all different things, he said, to be able to elongate my ability to stay focused or to refocus. But when I get caught off shots like cell phones ringing or people yelling or something, my physical ability to refocus, to back away and then refocus and so forth, Phil said, I'm not able to do that. I'm physically not able to do it right now. So I have to find techniques to be able to do that. Well, that was very honest of Phil. And I'm sure this has happened to you. I mean, do you find it more difficult to focus as you get older? I'm sure sports psychologists would have a field day with this one. I'll have to get, you know, psychologists on the show. But Phil went on to say that it's, for him, a physiological problem. So that's interesting. I'll have to ask Renee about that, if she has issues refocusing. The women pros are in Singapore playing in the HSBC Women's World Championship. Yuju Kim beat Hannah Green by one shot at 17 under. And here's some interesting news, first reported by Golf Digest. All you female golfers out there. Pine Valley, which has been an exclusive men's only golf club, you know, it's located in southern New Jersey, ranked the top golf course in the U.S. by Golf Digest and other publications through the years. They are allowing female members an unrestricted women's play for the first time in its 108 years. It was just announced. Well, it wasn't really announced. I think Golf Digest got a hold of the note that the club president sent to its Pine Valley members, which said, in quotes, "This evening at our annual meeting of the members, we made a historic change to Pine Valley's bylaws. The future of golf must move toward inclusion, and I am pleased to report that the trustees and members of Pine Valley Golf Club have voted unanimously and with enthusiasm to remove all gender-specific language from our bylaws." The letter went on to say that the club's policies will now allow all guests to enjoy our club without restrictions, and we will begin immediately identifying women candidates for membership with the expectation of having our first women members in the club by the end of the year. Unfortunately, I've never played Pine Valley. I'd love to play at Pine Valley, but until now, I had heard that women could only play on Sunday afternoons. So this is a big, big step. Augusta National, as you remember, accepted women members for the first time back in 2012. The Royal and Ancient Golf Club of St. Andrews, they've hosted, you know, numerous open championships. They voted to accept women members back in 2014 for the first time. And as I mentioned, Renee Powell, who will join us later this hour, she became a member of St. Andrews back in 2015, I believe. Muirfield in Scotland, they host a lot of opens. They voted in female members in 2017. And so Pine Valley, which doesn't host any major championships, have decided to do the right thing and allow women members. And prior to this announcement, female guests at Pine Valley were only allowed to play on Saturday afternoons. And the Golf Digest article pointed out that of 3,670 private golf clubs in the U.S., fewer than a dozen clubs remain men only. So that's we're making some progress. Good news for women golfers out there, really business leaders too, because, you know, being allowed to join a private club, having access to a private club, sure, you know, you're playing a, no doubt, a gorgeous golf course. It's you get the social access, but it's, a lot of it's really about the business access, and you know, a lot of business takes place at these clubs. On the 19th hole, as they say, you can bring your clients, you know, impress your clients by bringing them to these beautiful spots. So, you know, it's really all about access and giving women the same opportunities that guys have. All right. Well, last week I briefly mentioned the PGA Tour's Player Impact Program. We didn't have a chance to get into it too much, but I wondered what your thoughts are about that. You know, they're going to basically reward 10 players with the highest social media profile with $40 million bonus plan. They're going to split it up somehow. And it's all about which of the 10 players on the PGA Tour move the needle the most in social media. And they're going to determine this with a combination of things such as, you know, Google searches, Q ratings, MVP index ratings, Nielsen brand exposure. It's just crazy. I think it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Like, these 10 stars on the PGA Tour need $40 million, you know, need to split this. I just think it could be used in so many other productive ways. You know, golf is very charitable as it is, but, you know, they could, you know, use that money for golf programs, for inclusion, to help talented players with expenses as they navigate the minor league tours. There's so many other ways the tour could use this $40 million. And I just think this program is a result of what was once a threat by what was called the Premier Golf League. They were trying to lure top players away from the PGA Tour. They got a lot of publicity last year during when golf was suspended for a couple months. But it just seems like the PGA Tour was reacting to that because this has been in the works for a while. And the Premier Golf League was planning to offer players guaranteed money to show up. And Rory McIlroy spoke out about it. So it didn't go anywhere. But I just think the PGA Tour decided, well, we're going to hold on to our stars and we need to do other ways to reward these guys. But it's just a ridiculous program, I think. Anyway, coming up, tips on planning your future golf trip to the Emerald Isle. Allison Metcalf will join us, Executive VP of Tourism Ireland. And then later in the show, we'll get to know the remarkable Renee Powell. But first, let me tell you that at Travelers, we never lose sight of our promise to take care of our customers and communities. That's why we're so excited to welcome another field of world-class golfers to this year's Travelers Championship, June 24th through the 27th. Since 2007, the tournament has raised over $20 million for charities across the region thanks to the support of the PGA Tour's best players, the thousands of volunteers, and all our loyal fans. For over 160 years, Travelers has been helping protect the people we serve. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori. And Allison Metcalf is the Executive VP for Tourism Ireland, a country that has so many breathtaking links courses and parkland courses. And thanks so much for coming on Talking Golf. Allison, how are you?
I'm fantastic, Ann. Always great to be on the show.
Always great to connect with you. And as we get to a point, finally, hopefully, in which we can all start planning our golf trips to the Emerald Isle, what should our strategy be at this point, Allison?
Well, I think our strategy at this point, I mean, the good news is for everybody that things are, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Things are beginning to open up in Ireland. And, you know, I think ultimately you're going to see, as in May and June, you're going to see hospitality reopen. The government just announced this week that hotels would open on June the 2nd and outdoor hospitality on June the 7th. And I think you're going to see the focus being on getting the domestic tourism industry open first in June and July, and stores reopening and personal services. So the good news is the vaccination program is rolling out well, and we're moving into a really positive position. So I think in terms of, you know, planning trips, we would still be hopeful that, you know, we will be in a position to welcome back international visitors later this year. Could be end of the summer, September, but at this point, it's just too early to say. But the good news is we're moving in the right direction. We're getting ready to welcome everybody back, and the golf experience will be just as good, if not better than ever before.
And do you know whether certificates proving that we're vaccinated will be required for Americans to enter Ireland?
So at this point, I mean, the European Union is implementing, as this passed, details on an EU COVID certification program. And that, first and foremost, is for intra-European travel, so they'll open up travel within Europe. And the Irish government is certainly committed to joining that program and is working on technology over the summer. The European Union came out very good news to say that they hoped that it would be possible to welcome fully vaccinated Americans as well as part of that program. So I think there's a lot of work to be done at this point, but in terms of aligning systems and things and protocols around that, I think it's certainly possible, and I think it's likely. But again, at this point, we don't know exactly what the timeline is going to be. Even with the European program, it is still up to each individual member country to determine how they want to operate the system and what criteria they will accept international visitors. But I think, listen, countries with high vaccination rates and are certainly going to be looked at positively.
Well, let's talk about the specific areas of Ireland and Northern Ireland. If you have about a week to play golf in Ireland, I personally always recommend focusing on a specific region, say the Southwest, or, if you want to go to Dublin and play the courses in that surrounding area, or go up to Donegal in the Northwest. So, if you're going to the Southwest, you can fly from JFK to Shannon Airport, you rent a car, and you try to play Lahinch or Doonbeg or Tralee, Ballybunion. And you can drive down to the Ring of Kerry and see that dramatic scenery. I mean, there's just so many different areas to play that are just so amazing that I just think, you kind of have to maybe be specific in the region that you're playing. Is that a good strategy?
Yeah, I think, I would say three things I would consider when you're planning a trip. The first, as you said, Anne, is just divided into different, regional areas for golf. So if you have a week to 10 days, look at basing yourself in a particular region. And if you have a little longer, you can take in a couple of regions. So as you said, you could, for the Southwest, you could base yourself in Killarney, and you can play Ballybunion and Waterville and Tralee and Old Het. You might also want to move up, you could stay in Adair and play, obviously Adair, which is going to host the Ryder Cup in 2027. And you could also play Lahinch and Doonbeg. Or look at the Northern Ireland and the Northwest. Consider getting off the beaten track, which I think that's a good strategy going forward. And as I know you've played many of those courses up in Donegal, but beyond playing some of the signature courses like Royal Portrush, take in Castle Rock, take in Port Stewart, head over to to Donegal, look at Ballyliffin, Rosa Penna, new St. Patrick's Lynx course opening there on June 26th. So that brings that resort to three courses. And then down to Sligo. Or if you want to combine some of the urban piece, then Dublin and the East Coast, as you rightly said. The second thing I would look at is transportation. Consider how you want to travel around the island. Do you want a self-drive vehicle? Would you prefer, depending upon the size of your group, a driver guide? And that gives you a lot of flexibility too in a small executive sort of coach. And thirdly, I would encourage people to consider booking early for 2022 and 2023. As you can imagine, with COVID, quite a bit of businesses moved from 2021 to 2020 to 2021. Some of that business as the year goes on might shift to 2022. So if you really want to, guarantee those signature course tee times, book early for 2022 and 2023, and consider getting off the beaten track as well, because I think some of the best golfing experiences are at some of those hidden gem courses when combined with obviously the signature courses.
Oh, absolutely. And then getting to them is such an adventure. And I just love driving in Ireland. That's my favorite part, along with the golf and the pubs and getting to know, the people there. But, you mentioned Donegal. It's very special, a place where many Irish residents go to vacation. And you have the Donegal Golf Club, Bunduran, Nairn and Portnew, Cruet Island, which was incredible, Rosapenna, Ballyliffin. And then you had mentioned, Adair Manor, staying at castles is just incredible. It's like being in a fantasy. Castles like Adair Manor and Ashford and Dromoland, right. They offer beautiful accommodations and amazing golf.
Well, that's right. And I think that's what makes, a trip to Ireland special. It's, you expect there to be exceptional golf. And of course there is. And when you're home to one third of the world's links courses, you've got this tremendous golfing proposition. But I think it's all of the other things that we do. I think it's the ease with which you can combine that great golf with what we call the crack, which is, the Irish word for good times, fun. It's that unique brand of Irish hospitality. And I think it's very easy to just, we're about creating memorable experiences. And when you've off both on the golf course and off the golf course. So with that in mind, I think, you know, it's very easy, you know, to connect with the locals, enjoy local culture, take, you know, a live music session. You can take in some sightseeing. You know, if you're a Game of Thrones fan, you know, and you're golfing up in Northern Ireland, I mean, there you've got plenty of locations to go and visit, including the Dark Hedges. There's great food. Do a whiskey tour and tasting. There's more whiskey distilleries now in Ireland than there's ever been. So it's that unique, it's a complete package, I think. And as you said, there's a variety of great accommodation from castles that you mentioned to great, you know, country houses, small inns and manor houses, as well as guest houses. So it's that unique brand of hospitality. We're about creating memorable experiences, and I think post-COVID, those experiences will be even more memorable.
Absolutely. We're all ready for some crack. Spout, and it's spout, C-R-A-I-C, which is a Gaelic term for fun. And, you know, the whole pub culture is a must in Ireland. And, you know, I'll never forget being in a pub in Doonbeg and listening to a local named Patrick who frequented this pub and sat in the same bar stool. Every time I would go to visit, he'd be in the same stool. And he'd be, when it was his turn to sing, you know, and everybody is quiet and pays so much respect to the person who's singing. And he sang, "Oh, Danny Boy," at my request. He had the voice of an angel. I mean, there was not a dry eye in the entire pub when Patrick was singing. And it's just such a special memory. I just think you have to leave time for that as well.
And I think that's really important. I think it's leaving time for that because, you know, those are the memories you bring home with you. And it's a great opportunity. Listen, wherever you go in Ireland, I mean, there's an opportunity to get involved, to immerse yourself in the culture. And if you want to sing, if you want to play that musical instrument, just get up and do it. You know, at the end of the day, if you're in a pub, as you've rightly said, you know, people want to know where you're from. I mean, we're very friendly, often regarded as nosy as well sometimes. We want to know what kind of a time you're having. And I think it's a crack, and I'm glad you clarified the word there, and I always do that. But it is about having fun. It's about having some, you know, great experiences on the golf course, off the golf course. But at the end of the day, it is the golfing experience, which I think is the most memorable for anybody, obviously, going. And, you know, we're looking forward as we move forward to, you know, hosting that Ryder Cup in 2027. I think this year's Ryder Cup is going to be interesting with Harrington, you know, captaining the European team.
And, that's right.
And of course, you know, we're just getting ready, and of course you'd expect us to have COVID safety measures in place. The teams on the ground have been working very, very hard with the industry to do that. And golf courses opened in Ireland just last week, and in Northern Ireland at the beginning of April. And you won't be surprised to hear me say this, but all the golf courses are in great shape because they've been closed for 4 months. And sadly, we haven't had visitors for the last year, but we're really looking forward to welcoming them back, and hopefully some later this year.
And you also mentioned the culinary. I know Ireland is known for, you know, pure waters, green pastures, and I understand that Tourism Ireland is teaming up with a celebrity chef to create a new food travelogue series.
That's right. We're teaming up with Donald Skean, but we've worked with you know, many of the great chefs in Ireland, and I think that's probably one of the least told stories. I mean, I think, and it's an element that always surprises people. People go to Ireland thinking the food will be okay. They come back blown away by the food experience, and I think the important thing is that the food experience at every stop along the journey, at the bed and breakfast, at the coffee shop, in the pub. It's not all just about Michelin-star restaurants, and we have a lot of those too. But that the use of local ingredients and understanding the food provenance, where your meat, where your vegetables have come from. So it's just a modern-day twist that has been applied to some traditional dishes. There's a whole culinary revolution underway, and we're very proud of that. And I think that's something that, again, if people want to have a good food experience wherever they travel, whether you're golfing or just sightseeing.
Absolutely. And if you get to go down and play Old Head, Kinsale is the gourmet capital of Ireland. I think it's still considered that. So definitely stay in Kinsale and enjoy all the incredible food in that village. And, you know, the hospitality of the Irish is second to none. And as beautiful as the golf courses are and the scenery, you know, it's really the people that are so welcoming and hospitable. It's just a highlight. Allison.
It is. I think hospitality is kind of in our DNA, and there's nothing we like more than welcoming people to the island of Ireland. And as I say, I can tell you there's a lot of very eager folks back in Ireland waiting to extend that big Cape Mayda Falseta to our American travellers.
And the crack awaits.
The crack awaits. C-R-A-I-C, just to confirm. People are just tuning in, right?
Exactly. Thank you so much, Allison. Can't wait to get back to the Emerald Isle, really. Just such a special place.
Thanks, Anne. We look forward to welcoming you back. Take care.
Take care. Allison Metcalf, Executive VP for Tourism Ireland. Coming up, trailblazer, social change patriot, LPGA and PGA golf professional, former tour player, Renee Powell will join us. But first, let me tell you that at Travelers, we never lose sight of our promise to take care of our customers and communities. That's why we're so excited to welcome another field of world-class golfers to this year's Travelers Championship, June 24th through the 27th. Since 2007, the tournament has raised over $20 million for charities across the region, thanks to the support of the PGA Tour's best players, the thousands of volunteers, and all our loyal fans. For over 160 years, Travelers has been helping protect the people we serve. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella.
It's Talkin' Golf with Anne Liguori on The Fan.
Well, welcome back to Talking Golf. Beautiful morning. Hope you're getting ready to head to your tee time. Hit them straight, everybody. Have a great day. And Renee Powell, LPGA, PGA former tour player, PGA Hall of Famer. She's an inspirational speaker, an international golf ambassador, a champion for veterans, and a social change patriot. And Dr. Renee Powell joins me right now. Good morning, Renee. How are you?
Good morning, Ian. It's so great to talk to you. I'm doing fantastic.
Oh, it's so great to have you on the show. And boy, your background and resume, and it's just unbelievable. And I just want you to, I want to get my audience more familiar with you if they haven't met you before. And I know back in 2008, you became the only female golfer to ever receive an honorary doctorate from the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. And what a great honor. Can you talk about that honor and your life in the UK?
Oh, you know, it was so fantastic. And what made it very special was the fact that, you know, my dad passed away in 2009, but he was able to go over with me in 2008 when I received the honorary doctorate. And he had not, he actually during World War II, he was stationed in England and Scotland, so he had not been there in 63 years. So it was sort of like a gift for me to be able to give to him, you know, at that time, 63 years later. And he had never been to St. Andrews, but he had been to Edinburgh, but not St. Andrews. And so it was just so, it was sort of an emotional time, but it was lovely. And he thoroughly enjoyed himself.
And I know the University of St. Andrews named a new student hall of residence after you. I mean, how great is that?
I know. Can you believe it? So when I was talking to the principal, who is, we call president over here, she said, well, I thought that since you received your honorary doctorate in 08, you know, 10 years later would be a great year to do this. And I'm like, oh, okay. I still have no idea why they wanted to name a building for me, but it's lovely. It's a 205-room suite. And when my women veterans went over in 19, they had an opportunity to stay in the Renee Powell Hall. So it's pretty cool. I mean, I'm not.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe some of me is Scottish. Not all of me is. And I, you know, I live on this side of the pond, so it's pretty incredible. It's the first time they ever named a building for an American, and also the first time they ever named a building for a golfer, and it's in the home of golf, which is lovely.
Oh, what a great town. It's such a historic town. I just love walking around, you know, St. Andrews. Now, you moved to the UK in the 70s and joined the British PGA. What brought you there, Renee? I mean, were there more opportunities there for you to play than there were here?
Well, you know, it's it was at a time when I had actually gone over there initially to play in the Colgate European Women's Tournament. And, you know, my dad had talked so much about England and Scotland, and I fell in love with him. And also, I eventually fell in love. So I moved to England, and I lived there for like 7 years before I moved back to the United States. And so it just so happened I had a lot of friends that were members of the British PGA, and one of my friends talked me into joining. I actually became a head golf professor at a private club in the UK. And so everything just sort of fell in place. And I love it there. I still go over there, you know, as often as I can. Now it's between going over to England and going over to Scotland, you know, each. So I try to do one year and one the next year, or you know, one in the beginning of the year, one at the end of the year.
And you became a member of the Royal and Ancient, which is amazing. That was back in 2015. And I don't know if you heard, but just, I think it was Friday, Pine Valley announced that they're opening up their membership to women for the first time ever.
I saw that. I was just reading that late last night. And because I think it was in 108, the first time in 108 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of places are changing. And when the RNA changed, it was, you know, over 260-some years before they did that. So, you know, people are beginning to realize that women play golf too.
That's right. Inclusion is a good thing, and diversity. And I know you faced, Renee, a lot of discrimination in the 60s as a junior golfer, and then in college as the first African-American to lead a major university golf team. What were those years like, Renee?
You know, it was challenging. You know, there were obstacles that my parents taught me. You have to learn how to overcome obstacles, whether you go over, under, around, or through. And so you don't give up. But I learned a lot, you know. It's when you face obstacles, you learn a lot. And you learn how to move on in life. So there were, like you say, a lot of challenges, a lot of things that were not very pleasant. And I grew up in surrounded by a family that protected me all the time. And then all of a sudden I'm out there and things are happening. But I made it through it.
Well, I know you were the second African-American player to play on the LPGA Tour. And back in those days, I read where you were banned from staying in certain hotels and eating at certain restaurants. And there was this one story that I read when you toured with Canadian Sandra Post and were not served in various restaurants. You joked, I didn't want to tell you, Sandra, but it's because you're a Canadian.
Yeah, you're right. I told her that a little bit later in life, but that's absolutely right, because we would just get up and leave and we'd go somewhere else. So it was, there were things that, you know, so for me, I faced a lot of things on tour that none of my other colleagues had to face. And, you know, golf is one of those sports where it's such a mental sport. So, you know, having to deal with just, you know, the tour itself, and then having to deal with all the obstacles that I was, you know, faced with just being a black golfer, you know, traveling the tour when there were housing situations, there were locker room situations. I mean, and I remember one of the, I remember it was one lady, because I played with her twice in a pro-am. And so she called me one day and she said, you know, the reason was because we couldn't find other people who would play with you, because of your color. And so, she volunteered to, you know, twice, you know, 2 years in a row. So there were a lot of different things that went on, but,
And how did you get through those difficult moments? How did you get through all that?
You know, I had good family. I talked to my parents. You know, I called home a lot. I had some good people in tour that I talked to. Sandra was a, you know, close friend. Marilyn Smith was another one. And I would talk to Marilyn at different times. And I had met her when I was like 12. And, you know, she was so kind then, would write me letters and whatnot as a youngster. So, you know, and then I had a lot of faith in God. So we made it through.
You certainly did. You're incredible. Now, your father, Bill Powell, he built Clearview Golf Club by hand while working nights as a security guard, and it opened to the public back in 1948, and then it was expanded to 18 holes in 1978. What were those years like? That must have been exciting to have, you know, your own golf course.
Well, you know, this is actually the 75th year of the anniversary when Daddy began building the golf course. In the first nine holes, he did literally tilt by hand, and he had a hand seater around his neck where he turned it, you know, and spread the feet, and he literally walked back and forth every step of the way.
Wow.
The golf course, which is, you know, hard to imagine, especially when people have a hard time putting a lawn. But the second nine holes in 78, and I was on tour then, so I wasn't here at the time. I would come home and I would see some different things. But, you know, growing up here, living in the middle of the golf course, it was like Daddy would always say, you know, all the golf course is a grass farm. And it's true. The grass grows all the time, right? You're always cutting it. And so I learned how to do different things on the golf course. You know, I learned how to mow greens and mow fairways and water and things like that. But, just to see the things that my parents did and the sacrifices that they made, my whole family made to give me an opportunity to play the tour is just absolutely incredible. And so this year we're on, I'm so passionate about Clearview, and I feel an obligation and a responsibility to make sure that the legacy of what my parents did 75 years ago continues on forward for the next 75 years and beyond. So we're doing a lot of heavy fundraising and have a lot of hefty goals for 2021.
So talk about your project with Michelle Wee with the hoodies.
Well, isn't that pretty incredible? I mean,
yeah.
Michelle came up with, she wanted to do something to give back to the LPGA, and she felt she was at a time when she, you know, really felt strongly about that and decided that she wanted to give dollars to, so half the dollars that are being raised by these hoodies are going to the Renee Powell LPGA USA Girls Golf Grant, which goes to the LPGA, and the other half of the money is going to the Clearview Legacy Foundation. So it's being split. But Michelle came up with this wonderful idea, which she sort of gathered from the orange hoodies that the WNBA were doing and the NBA was supporting, because to really talk more about women's sports and supporting women's sports, it's a tie-dye, a light tie-dye. It's beautiful, light tie-dye, and it has the logo of the LPGA, and on the sleeve, on the arm, it has established in 1950. So it really brings light to the fact that the LPGA is now this year 71 years old. But Michelle has, I was just thrilled, and she's so happy to be involved in what she's doing and being able to support the Clearview Legacy Foundation and also the other program in which my name is attached to. So it's pretty awesome. And we're just selling as many hoodies as we possibly can, and people can get them through if they go to lpgaproshop.com. And they can order
awesome.
Them. They actually sold out in 3 hours.
I saw that.
I
hope they got another supply.
I know, they restocked. And so I think Steph Curry even has one that hopefully soon he'll come out with and on social media. But, you know, her husband is with the Warriors. And so that gives a little bit of closeness to the basketball players out there.
Absolutely. Now, I know you played professional golf, you've instructed, you've coached, you have, you know, you're a businesswoman. The other day when Phil Mickelson missed the cut at the Valspar, he opened up about, you know, what he thinks his problem is, because he's not been playing well, and he said he can't refocus anymore. He said if he gets distracted by a phone call or something else, it's difficult for him to physically be able to focus. So I thought maybe you could answer this question. You know, what can golfers do, particularly as we all get older, to work on our focus? Because that's a huge problem for everybody.
Oh, that's a great question. You're absolutely right. It is. Because our mind seems to wander a bit sometimes. And, you know, and as we get older, we have more stored in our brains than we do. And really, you know, you just have to try to, it takes a conscious effort, I think, and to try to look at one shot at a time, you know, prepare, make sure that you stay in the same routine. You have a routine and try to do that routine for every single shot. If you get ahead of yourself, you know, you'll tend to sort of lose focus. And also people tend to get quicker sometimes. And it's just really, you know, continue to stay slow, you know, slow down. Try not to get, you know, out of sync. But it is
right.
just one shot at a time and not getting ahead of yourself.
Right. I know it gets harder and harder as you get older. It's like, what happened to my focus?
I used to be so focused.
My concentration. It's crazy. And if Phil's experiencing it, well, hey, I know we all kind of experience that. But you're receiving the Distinguished Service Award by our Met Golf Writers Association. Congratulations. I know the virtual dinner will be at Wingfoot on Wednesday evening, October 6th. I hope you can be there. Congratulations on that. But I did want to mention that because that's right here in the New York area.
Yes. Thank you very much. And I plan to be there.
Awesome.
So I knew they moved it from the earlier date to October, so that should be a good time. And I'm just, you know, so happy. You know, I was at the Met section once before for an award, and it was the Golf Family of the Year award, which included our whole family. So I'm really excited
special
now to be there.
I remember
again
that.
To receive the Distinguished Service Award, and I so appreciate the selection committee selecting me for this huge honor.
Before I let you go, Renee, is there any one thing that you haven't done yet? What do you have to do? What do you have going on in the years ahead that you haven't done yet?
The one thing that I have to do, Anne, is to finish and to complete my autobiography.
Ah.
I'm in the middle of doing that, and I had wanted to get it done over the winter. I didn't. So I'm, you know, midway through. And so since this is 2021 and 75 years after Daddy started building the course, I want to make sure that I get it completed before the end of this year.
That's a tough task. It's hard to write books.
It is.
It takes a lot of discipline and focus.
You're right. And I think that's the reason I'm not done yet, because I haven't been able to focus as much as I should have.
Well, you are incredible. Thanks so much for spending a little time with us here on Talking Golf, Renee, and look forward to seeing you at that Met Golf Writers Distinguished Service Award. You deserve every minute of it, so look forward to seeing you then.
Thanks. It's been a joy talking to you. I'm glad we were able to get caught up a little bit. Thank you so much, Anne.
Thank you. My thanks to Renee Powell, to Allison Metcalf of Tourism Ireland, to Ed Arzuman in the studio. Way to go, Ed. Talking Golf with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Travelers, proud sponsor of the Travelers Championship. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. Stay tuned for the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf. Hey, have a great day. Hit them straight. And I will visit with you again next Sunday morning from 7 to 8 right here on Talking Golf with Anne Liguori.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.